Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it is Wednesday, September 21st. KG's getting excited, and I know why he's excited, because it's been damn near 6 years since A Brother's Point of View was on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
So now the fellas,
we're
going to take a minute to introduce ourselves, and we're going to show the people love. My name is Rasheem. I'm going to kind of anchor this thing off. But, of course, I got my regular cast of characters, my family that I've been rolling with for damn near 20 years. And now I'm going to let them go on and shout it out. We're going to start it off with Big Ox, Neil. Go on and say what's up to the people.
What's happening, people? This is Neil, a.k.a. Big Ox, Bronx raised, living in D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Man, it's good to be back. I miss y'all, man.
All right. What about John, the J-O-N? Don't want to say what's up to the people.
Yeah, what's up? I can't believe it's been 6 years. That seems like that's crazy, but I guess it has been. Broadcasting live from high above Silver Spring, once again, to all the people out there on the internet.
And last but not least, KG, do what you do.
What's the deal? I guess we done helped y'all make some babies, and now they walking and talking about now 6 years later. But it's good to be back. Like my man said in the intro, okay, I reloaded.
You a fool. So this is how it's going to go for people who are listening. Listen, people, you can get at us any which way you want. You can listen in over the internet. You can call in and listen over your phone. And you can also call in and talk with us. The phone number to kick it with us is 646-668-2132. 646-668-2132. If you can't really listen to the show live, don't worry about it. This thing is automatically saved. You can podcast it. You can get it on iTunes. You can go straight to Blog Talk Radio and get it. You can always listen to the show at another time. We also got the chat room open, so if you want to pop on in the chat room and get it, you can. And if the chat room isn't open, and you just hit me up on it, and sometimes we do it. So, if we talk, we kick it. We talk about things. Back in the days, we're not going to do that anymore, so I'm not going to talk about that no more, but we're going to talk about regular stuff that's going on in today's day and age. So, fellas, are y'all ready to get this going?
Yeah, let's get it.
So, I want to ask John, first question I want to ask to you. You voting for Donald Trump?
Absolutely not. I don't even know how that came to be the first question asked to me or whatever. But
why not?
Long story short,
why am I
not voting for Donald Trump?
You're a Republican, John.
What?
You're a Republican.
No, I'm not a Republican.
I think you're green party. You green party.
Actually, it has been 6 years. Yeah. So to get everybody caught up on 6 years worth of, you know, life, no, I'm not a Republican. I'm not voting for Trump. I'm also not voting for Hillary Clinton. I'm voting actually for Jill Stein because she more closely aligns with my own principles. And I firmly believe that there is a two-party duopoly. I think that's the correct SAT word. Yo, Neil, stop dropping the dishes in the house. Turn it down. Turn the water off and go somewhere where it's quiet so that we can get our broadcast on.
Okay, the people are trying to listen to what you say. And listen here, fat boy. I'm in the gym while I'm doing this with y'all. So get it straight. Put the Twinkies down and answer the question. You vote for Trump.
What does that have to do with Donald Trump? What does that have to do with Donald Trump?
Exactly.
All the working out and all that. And anyway.
Can you answer the question?
I'm not voting for Trump.
Can you answer the question?
I did. I think I've answered the question. I'm not voting for Trump. I do think that he's going to be elected president. I think that's damn near unavoidable now. But, you know, overall, I think that's maybe in the long term that would be a good thing.
Well, you think it's unavoidable that he's going to be elected president?
Unfortunately, yes, I do.
Wait, why is
that
so?
Because.
I agree with you. I need to hear why that's so. First, let me hear
John why he thinks that's the case. And in KG, I want you to pick it up and then tell me why you agree with him. John, why you think that's the case?
Well, simply put, even though I've been, you know, I know we're trying to draw things out a little bit, but basically stated, we're still a minority in this country, minority population-wise. Not, and I don't just mean we. I mean, if you added in all the Latinos and all the Asians and so on and so forth, it's still a majority white country. And the bottom line is his shtick, his Carnival Barker persona appeals to a still majority conservative white country, and they honestly feel very afraid of change, and he represents something Reagan-esque to people. And I mean, like, you look at this ad that his son put out with the bowl of Skittles saying, you know, if three of these would kill you, would you eat a handful? Well, that kind of mentality really, really appeals to Joe and Jill Sixpack in Kansas somewhere. So, and they're going to come out for his ass in November.
And just so I can make that clear, when he was talking about that ad, he was talking about Syrians. Like, why taking refugees if they potentially could kill you? Just throw the whole lot of them out. So that's what he's pretty much saying, right?
Right. Correct.
KG.
Yeah, I think John, I mean, he lost me with that last thing. The reason I think Trump is going to win is because there's apathy towards the other primary candidates. I don't think people are in love with Hillary at all. I think Hillary has made a lot of mistakes. She hasn't gone out and tried to secure the diversity vote. Her policies or I get the impression, based on the way her campaign is being ran, that she believes it's a foregone conclusion that minorities will support her. And I think that's a huge mistake. With this whole Benghazi thing and these emails, her pandering to obtain these votes, I think people are just kind of, we're not falling for the okey-doke. And quite frankly, you know, Obama is not as he's not as charismatic as he once was with the minority vote, especially with all these killings that's going on. I know we're going to get to that a little later, but I think that those situations and Hillary's and Obama's inability to say something that can stick is going to have a negative impact on people coming out in November to vote for her. So by default, not because I think people want Trump, by default, by people not showing up, I think that's why he'll win or could win.
I think something else is going to happen. It's going to be really ridiculous. I think there's going to be a switching of party loyalty to the point where Republicans, even though some of them are saying publicly that they're going to support Trump, I think when they get behind that curtain and they draw it, they know full well they're not voting for Trump. They know full well
agree.
that it's not going to be a situation where they say this is a loyalty, it's going to be a situation where they say, if Trump gets in, he could very well destroy the fabric of America, and they're going to pin that to Republicans. We will never be in office again. George Bush will have been the last Republican president. There ain't no way they're going to – I believe there ain't no way that they're going to allow – they're going to allow that to rise. Now here's the other thing that I'm not – but I'm going to say here's the other thing, though. The thing that could really kill it, because like John said, there's a lot of people out there, right? They're white, disenfranchised, disgruntled, poor Americans who may look at Trump like, yeah, that's our ticket to get something we ain't ever got before because he's blaming everyone else. And they may come out the woodworks in numbers where they never voted before. And if they did vote, they voted for a more liberal platform. I think now they're going to come out and vote for Trump. So it might be a switching of the parties where a lot of the conservatives vote Democratic because they want to preserve the Republican Party, thinking that that might be the only way to do it, not allow Trump to run it. Or if he gets in it, it goes, you know, hell in a handbasket, and then we might see those conservative, those little white folk who are just poor, disenfranchised, and disgruntled, or who just hate everyone but white folk, they might go on ahead and vote for Trump. And it's gonna be a mess come November. It's not gonna be a simple win for either of them.
Listen. You said some things that I think are very interesting. What the best scenario, in my opinion, would be Trump winning, Congress being Republican, and then legislation actually begins to occur. And then ultimately you have to sign bills, right? But right now, everything's at a stalemate. Like, very few things kind of get through the Senate, the executive branch. I mean, it's a very chaotic process. Now, the only thing that I think that people are concerned about at the end of the day is the Supreme Court justices. I think there's maybe three in the next 4 years, potentially, that the next president will have to kind of select. That is a huge deal. But I think in terms of if Trump does win, I think potentially it could be the catalyst for Republicans, Democrats, any other, you know, party to work together to overcome his foolishness, potential foolishness, I should say. Because I'm not a Trump supporter by any stretch of the imagination. He's shaking things up. He's, you know, got his base kind of going for him. But the things that he says, the things that he does, there's no substance to what he says from my standpoint, in my opinion. And, you know, I don't find him or Hillary to be as trustworthy for my vote, quite frankly.
I mean, I talk about this with, you know, various people on the internet and in my family and whatnot like that. And everybody, to a man, says there's no way that he's going to get in. It's not going to happen. What people fail to realize is, like, we are in a little bubble of, you know, people like you. You know what I'm saying? But his base ain't people like you or I. You know what I'm saying? He is attracting votes similar to Obama, where people who are completely out of the political process, don't care about it, ain't voted, don't want to vote, are coming out to vote for him because of who he is. He's got a cult of personality kind of thing going on. And he's going to have...
Listen to this. Now, I love all your articulate, mature, well-sounding answers. At the end of the day, this is my belief. At the end of the day, Trump is a clown. We all know this. You know what I'm saying? Whatever political view stance, whatever. Trump is a clown. We cannot have him represent the United States of America. Mess around, we'll have World War III out of this joint. You know what I'm saying? So do I think any candidate has... Hold on. Do I think any candidate has something that I would vote for? No, but what does America do? They're going to pick the lesser of the two evils. Think about it. Trump in office representing the United States of America for the next 4 years, it's damn near problems. Hillary, okay, she may make some changes. She may make some amendments. She may do some things that Congress doesn't agree with. But at the end of the term, end of her 4 years, hey, we'll find another candidate who will take her out of office. But Trump, oh, hell no. I'm not even worried about that. I cannot see Donald Trump represent me, represent the United States of America.
We had this argument.
You are sorely mistaken.
We had the same argument 6 years ago.
Wait, say that again?
The thing is,
go ahead, John, because I got something to say about that. Go ahead.
So basically, the only reason that Obama got in, we had the same argument 6 years ago. I see we're going to have it again 6 years later. The only reason that Obama got in was not because of support in the heartland, even though he won Ohio and Pennsylvania and Florida. He had overwhelming black turnout in 2008 and 2012 that won him those states. It was a bunch of black people in Miami that won him Florida. It was a bunch of black people in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia that won him Pennsylvania, so on and so forth. We ain't coming out like that for Hillary Clinton. Bottom line, regardless of why it is, we simply are not. And guess who is going to come out for Trump? Them same local yokels, mouth-breathing-ass people from Moon, Pennsylvania, is coming out for him just like they did, just like the black people did for Obama. Huh?
Nah, man. Listen, when Obama ran for president,
let's make a bet on this. We need to make a bet on this.
Let me finish my statement. When Obama first ran,
uh-huh.
and then when he ran for re-election, the turnout in itself was record-breaking. Like, that's been documented. When this next election, I assure you it will not be a record-breaking turnout. So what you're talking about in terms of Trump pandering to this inflaming this base, that's not going to happen. If he's going to win, it's going to be because people don't show up to the polls. So the supporting him, I would imagine they're probably the same people that supported John McCain, the same people that supported, you know, the other guy that lost the last time, Mitt Romney. Like, I don't think he's grown anything at all, quite frankly. He just hasn't done anything.
Let's make a little bet.
Make anybody... So what?
Let's make a
John
bet
wants
right
to make
here.
A bet. He wants to make all a right? bet.
Gambling is illegal.
If Trump gets more, of course. Okay, if Trump
if Trump gets more, you need to make a straight up bet. If Trump loses, if Trump wins, no sandbagging here. You
okay,
going based
okay,
on whether
okay,
he wins
okay,
or loses.
That's cool. That's fine.
Donald Trump
I will make a straight up bet.
Okay.
I hear what all three of y'all are saying. I think you're wrong. Let's make a bet. I am saying right now, here on air, Donald Trump's going to win the White House. And I will especially, if there is any more terrorist activity, if there's a major mass casualty type of event, you can hang it up. He's definitely going to win. So,
all right, so
we are saying it on, what is it?
I'm not saying that it's impossible for him to win. I'm not, because I'm gonna liken it to what happened with Brexit, because when that Brexit thing went down, it was the most people who were supporting that were folks who wanted to get out, kick out immigrants. They wanted nothing but white folk in England. It was like we need to leave the European Union, and people were like, that's crazy. It's not gonna happen. Never in a million years, and it happened. So as we used to say back in the Seton Place days, stranger things have occurred. So I'm not going to say it's impossible for the dude to win. All I'm saying is there's a path for him to lose, but it has to get worked.
Right.
And I think people have got to get beyond this. I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. My thing is this: if you don't, and we end up with what we end up with, I don't want to hear your mouth. Period. End of story.
Oh no! Oh, whoa! Hold on,
hey,
sir.
Hey, a side note.
It missed
side
me with
note,
that
in totality. Rod, I just got a quick question. I got people texting me. They listening to our conversation, and they want to input. When are we going to allow callers to discuss their views? Or are we doing that?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Here's the deal. Callers, I see you in the system. What I'm going to do, as a matter of fact, I'm gonna bring y'all in right now. I'm going to call you by your last four digits, because that's all I have. I don't have your name. I'm going to say the last four digits of your phone number. And if that's your number, know that your mic is hot and you can talk.
Hey, man.
So let's start.
Come on, these callers. You give them like 30 seconds to make their comment and kick them up behind.
Listen, we'll manage time. We'll make like a second to give the boop, but we'll manage time. First caller, the last four digits of your phone number is 3068. 3068. Caller, tell us your name. Where you calling from, and what do you have to say?
You're
on the clock.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, man.
Yeah,
you're on the clock.
Yeah, and if you don't have anything to say, you could just say you're listening.
Okay. My name is Chase. I'm actually from New York originally. I'm actually visiting down in Maryland right now.
Hold on. Hey, that's Big Phil.
Hey, that's Big Chase that was in the wedding, y'all. Y'all know Chase. He was in the wedding.
Oh, what's up, Chase?
Yeah, I know Chase.
I heard what you were saying, and a lot of it makes sense on both sides. For me, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I don't really give much credence to the whole idea that, first of all, every single person's vote really matters. That's number one. Just like how, for example, Al Gore won the quote-unquote popular vote where more people physically voted for him, but yet George W. Bush won, we don't necessarily really elect the officials that we elect, essentially. Number two, I also believe in, maybe call me a conspiracy theorist, but the powers that be really run the country. Barack Obama didn't get in because, like for us, he was black, but Barack Obama was still a mainstay politician. And yes, he may have seemed somewhat radical to the opposition, but as you've noticed, he was still a regular politician that did regular things. So Hillary Clinton is mainstay. And as much as people may not like that, more people are familiar with more people are comfortable with familiarity than they are with change. Donald Trump,
right.
That's not, brother.
Is anything Donald possible? Trump, sure.
People know Trump,
sure.
People know Trump's name. I mean, Trump's name is on everything.
We appreciate it. Thank you for your comment, Chase. We appreciate that. So, Telcher, what was you saying about that?
I mean, I hear what the brother's saying, but you act like it's not like his last name is like Coons. His last name is Trump. I mean, people know what Trump is. They know who he's a brand. He's like Diddy. Did you see this dude's face? You see, like, he is his own marketing tool. You know,
And I totally agree with you, Cage, but at the same token, behind that Trump name, he had a lot of failed ventures. America's not looking for a president that's going to fail. He went bankrupt.
I don't care. No one cares.
You don't care. America doesn't want somebody that's going to
no
go
one cares.
The country for
no
home.
One cares.
No one's even Yo, talking about
y'all
it.
Y'all not understand that Trump is saying that he is going to deport 11 million Latino, quote-unquote, illegal aliens. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know he's backtracked from that.
And
it's not feasible. He knows he can't.
That's exactly what they want. That's what he wrote to, like, the height of the polls or whatever, is he is appealing to a xenophobic, very conservative, afraid of the future, looking for, you know, some kind of hearkening to the past, Reagan-esque. Tell me he don't remind you of Reagan, where he's all personality and bluster and people just seem to like him and want to have a beer with him kind of thing. I'm telling y'all, man.
All right.
Just get ready.
So let me put the brakes on this real quick.
Hell yeah.
Let me put the brakes on this real quick. I want to get one more comment from a caller about this. And Khalilas, I see you in there, so just hold on. I'll pull you in, if not for this segment, for another segment. But I'm going to get one more comment from a caller. Then I want to play that audio from Obama's speech at the Congressional Black Caucus. And I know, John, you had some stuff that you wanted to say about that, but we'll get to it. But let me do my thing. Let me pull in the next call we'll be pulling in is your last four digits is 7691. If you're just listening, but if you want to make a comment, give us your name, where you're from, and give us your comment, 7691.
I'm just listening. I don't have a comment regarding anything being talked about tonight.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate your call.
Thank you for listening.
Right, thank you very much for listening. I still want to get someone who's going to talk, so let me go to this next one, and then if this one is just listening, then I'll go straight to the clip. Last four digits, 4727. If you're just listening, let us know. If not, give us your name, where you're from, and what you got to say.
Yeah, this is Naj in Atlanta. Can you hear me? I'm trying to use the Bluetooth.
Hey, what's
we
happening?
Got you, Naj.
Hey,
thanks for calling, brother.
Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate y'all letting me on, man. Yeah, I guess if you guys are talking about the appeal of Trump, yeah, he's playing to the lowest common denominator. He's playing on emotions. He's done it well because, I mean, that base was ready for somebody to come along. Will he do the things he's talking about? No. Most of the things he's talking about aren't even possible for a president to pull off. But, hey, as long as you can keep getting the crowds and keep getting people all energized, you know, that's the game that he's playing. It's a dangerous game because once you get in, then you got to deal with the dissatisfaction. You also got to deal with the opposition, which is going to be gridlocked. So, you know, it is what it is. Even if he doesn't win, his base is going to assume he was cheated. They're going to be just as adamant, probably even more dug into their position. And we're going to be fighting this fight for the next 8 to 10 years, which is the always looking back to better times, which is a bad thing for any country. But America, a huge portion of America feels like things used to be better and they would only be fixed if we could get rid of, you know, X, Y, and Z or what other people are doing. So that's the issue you got going along, him playing up to those sentiments. And it's a shame we aren't better educated politically not to fall for these games. If I can speak to that Obama thing you're going to get to, I definitely will.
All right, well,
I got a question. When did America have better times? Because you alluded to that. I'm curious.
Well, when you go to that Make America Great phase again, it depends on which Americans you're talking to. So if you're talking to working class Americans who got the benefits of, you know, the capital that was derived from the taking of indigenous land, the enslavement of black people, the different war economies, boom and bust, the different bank runs and all these other things, and those people who got the crumbs from peoples of the wealthy in this country, yeah, they're looking at, they're saying, well, those were better times for them. So that's how they're looking at this. It's not Make America Great Again as a whole. It's how it affected their particular section. So it's an extremely naive, you know, look at history, but it's also kind of let you know where how people feel. They're looking at their own plate and their own plate only. And, you know, they think this is, you know, a game of get yours to hell with everybody else. So, you know, that's not going to change. That's how they feel.
Speak on
well
it, bro.
Said.
Speak on it. Thank you, Nas. We appreciate that. Hold on. We'll probably come to you a little bit later after we get into this Obama clip. Appreciate it, bro. All right, fam. So take a listen to what Obama said, and then I'm going to want to get some reaction from y'all. Hold on.
There's another candidate whose defining principle, the central theme of his candidacy, is opposition to all that we've done. There's no such thing as a vote that doesn't matter. It all matters. And after we have achieved historic turnout in 2008, in 2012, especially in the African American community, I will consider it a personal insult, an insult to my legacy, if this community lets down its guard and fails to activate itself in this election. You want to give me a good send-off? Go vote!
You heard him. You want to give him a good send-off? Go
hey,
vote,
man.
John.
Wow.
Hey,
man. John, you want to take that first? You want me to go in?
John,
go for it. Go ahead.
All right,
oh,
man.
Oh yeah, yeah. I,
so,
like, I can wait. But it don't matter. Yeah.
I have been John and I have had discussions offline, like off this medium, one on one, about Obama, his effectiveness, and you know, just Obama in general.
Right. Or lack thereof.
Exactly. Over the last 8 years, I mean, I was a huge Obama supporter initially. I mean, I was excited, but as these quote-unquote incidents with, you know, Zimmerman, the police, the guy who shot the brother for the music being loud in Florida, as these incidents have continued to occur, I have not heard, seen President Obama say or do anything of substance to help eradicate, erode, or bring to justice the people that have murdered unarmed people of color. As a result of that, I have lost complete faith, trust in this man. And it makes me think about but kind of it reminds me of essentially the people being lulled to sleep at a church by a pastor. The pastor can do no wrong, but yet these people are, you know, berating their congregation with these things, all these great sermons, but there's no substance behind, you know, what they're doing. Pastors driving, you know, the Rolls Royce. Everybody else is taking the, you know, public transportation. I feel like that's what's going on with Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I think after the okay. after the guy was killed in Minnesota, and the governor came out and said if that was a white guy that would not have happened, I think I wrote this and posted it publicly on one of my social media platforms. I wish my president would say something just like this.
But you know what I say to that? I don't want to hear
hands and tie. You're the president. You're done. You tell everybody you never need any more political elections. You're finished. You can speak and say your mind. You can grab your nuts and say what's on your brain. He is not
well,
done
let me
anything
ask you a
of the sort.
When let me
it,
ask you
hold
a question,
up, Neil. Hold up, Neil. When it comes to the LGBT community, he has been profoundly outspoken about those types of things. When it comes to what's going
yep.
on in Israel and the Middle East, he has been profoundly outspoken about those things. As it pertains
got a clip to on that too.
He has done absolutely nothing.
And I totally let me first of all, I respect your viewpoint. You already know what it is. But I'll just have one thing to say to that. And it's not a disrespect, because you know I love you. Keltrick, have you ever been president of the United States?
I don't give a good goddamn.
No, and it's not an excuse. I'm saying, until you've been in his shoes and can say, I know what it is to be president, I know what a president can and cannot do, I think it's kind of
Neil,
foul. Not from you personally, but
you,
I think it's kind of foul to point the finger.
KG, you spoke. Let me finish it.
I think it's kind of foul. Like I said, it's not personal, but I think it's kind of foul to point a finger at a president and say, because this happened and you didn't do this, well, I lost all faith in you. You don't know what he's doing. None of us on this panel has ever been president. Now, if we have been and we could say, yo, well, you know, I can enact this or he could have enacted that and he chose not to, well, that's different. We don't know what he does in the White House. Ain't none of us ever been in the White House to see how policy and all that goes. We hear about it. We know people that might be on Congress and might be on the Senate that can tell us words, but we don't know really what he's doing behind closed doors, and we don't know how many things he may have tried to put into action, and they knocked down from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? So I understand you, and I respect your viewpoint, but until we've been in his shoes to know what it's like and what he's done, if we've been in the Oval Office with him and be like, oh, bet, okay, I see him doing this, or oh, bet, I don't see him doing this, I don't think it's fair for us to point a finger and say, yo, you whack, and I lost faith in you. That's all. You know what I mean?
John, you got something to say about this? KG, let me.
I mean, basically, I knew that Barack was on some monkey bars in 2007 when he resigned from his church. I had never heard of that before in my life, and I knew he was on some bullshit right at that moment. Now, ever since then, the reason that he got in, and I will chapter and verse your ass, we can pull it from the voting polls and everything else. Like I said, as we've mentioned earlier, the reason he got in was overwhelming, quote-unquote, urban support, okay? But when he got in, the first thing he did was the Lilly Ledbetter law. He made inroads with the gay community, gay, lesbian, transgender community. And he told the church-going black dads, hey, you got to do better. Don't feed your kids Popeyes. You know what I'm saying? Do homework with your children. And he has had that same mentality of, I'm just a president who happens to be African-American, not a black president, for 7 years out of his 8-year administration. And now here at the last minute, oh, now we want to talk about your legacy? Really? Okay. I think the wrong Obama got elected. I think it should have been Michelle. So that's the culmination of it pretty much.
Let me add this in, and then you can close it out. I'm going to add this in, and you can close it out. Here's the thing I'm
looking at. John, he didn't go as hard as he should have. And John, I expected more from him.
And I know he can go harder, so you might let him, you know, get a little bit more in.
And we got some callers. We want to hear some callers' outputs too, right? Or we ain't trying to do it.
We do. So here's the deal. We got three things in existence right here at one time. We got a black man. president and a black president. Those are three separate things that I am not confusing and meshing and merging them together. As a black man, I would expect to see him respond in a certain manner. But as a president, if he doesn't respond the way I would like a black man to respond, as a president, I gotta hold him at a separate standard, because as the figurehead, the leadership, the governing body, he's done a damn good job as a president. Now, has he done a damn good job as a black man who's a president? Well, then, if that's the case, I got to look at solely black issues. And if he hasn't addressed black issues in the way that I would assume a black man should address those issues, then I got to pass back through the prism of his presidency. A president is a politician. He needs to get elected again. He is not going to, especially in the first term, he's not going to step out there and make statements that he know is going to not lead him toward a reelection. And let's be clear. No Democratic president has won without the support from the black community. So am I going to hold him to a higher standard than every other Democratic president? If I am, then I got
to
be real.
What you're saying is, I feel like, Ron, you're saying something that doesn't make any sense to me, right? You said he's a man, a black man, and the president, and you can't make those things interwoven.
He's a black man, he's a president, and he's a black man that happens to be president. Those are three distinct things that are going to respond to each situation that's happened differently.
They are.
They have to.
I don't think that has anything to do, like those three different hats, using your analogy, those three hats, in my opinion, are completely irrelevant to the job that he has to do. Because previously, George Bush was a man, whatever three things you want to lay out for him, and still president, he still did things that those that are like him. So if you had money, hey, you know, you was good.
Right.
Obama, in my opinion, the nation, and I hate to say this out loud because I was hurt by this.
Spit it out so we can get to a caller. Go ahead.
Bit more divided now than we were when we first got in office, at least publicly, because it's more known. Like, people have been going hard in the paint. Very hard in the paint.
But you gotta be fair when you say that. We're divided because even though he's not trying to portray himself as a black president, everyone else who was in the existing power structure before him will only see him as a black president. Everyone else who's going to fight him will fight him because he's a black man, and at the same time, he's not standing up as a black man. So we can make that analysis, but you got to be fair in saying that when a black man becomes president, the Republican Congress says you're going to fight him on everything he's going to do solely because it's him.
I know the call is burning up, y'all. Take some calls, baby.
We got a call right here. I'm going to pull you in by your last four digits, and then we're going to move on. We went light on time. So the last four digits, 2170. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What you have to say?
You're on the clock.
2170, you there? Your phone is live.
All right,
they're nervous. They're nervous.
That's all right. They could just be listening.
Appreciate you for listening, too.
So here's the deal. Let me play this. Because everything we are saying is wrapped up in this right here. Hold on.
There's your legacy, Mr. President. It's in the street with your suffering people, Mr. President. And if you can't go and see about them, then don't worry about your legacy. Because the white people that you've served so well, they'll preserve your legacy. The hell they will. But you didn't earn your legacy with us. We put you there. You fought for the rights of gay people. You fought for the rights of this people and that people. You fight for Israel. Your people are suffering and dying in the street. That's where your legacy is.
Now you failed to do what should have been done, but it's never too late. You, like Jimmy Carter, can be a better president after you leave the restrictions of your White House and come on back to the hood and start organizing like you did. And with your influence all over the world, let's make a new and better people. And from us, if it's Allah's will, we can make a new and better America.
So let me put this out there. Can he redeem himself after his presidency?
Hey, go ahead. My bad, Sam. Go ahead.
Listen, I see who the callers are here. All right? I'm going to get to them. So let me ask you, can Obama redeem himself after his presidency?
Himself? I mean, he's already, for the vast majority of black people, for the vast majority of Americans, he is already on that MLK, Harriet Tubman, black Mount Rushmore type thing. Because most black people, all they see is a black man in the White House. They on board with it. We talking about people who pay maybe a little bit closer attention to politics. But for the vast majority, he's damn near probably the most loved black person outside of Oprah. So he don't have to redeem anything. He's going to get out the White House and immediately be one of the most popular black people on the planet. So he can continue being milk toast for the rest of his life and skate, doing just what he's been doing.
What I'm saying is there are a lot of people who are now disillusioned with him. Is there anything that he can do in the community to pull them out of that disillusionment? Just like Farrakhan just said.
He can pardon Asada.
After the presidency, can you
pardon
become...
Pardon Asada on his last day in office.
He said pardon Asada Shakur on his last day of office, and that'll do it.
I mean, he can pardon Asada.
That'll do it for me.
The one thing I talk about sometimes with my colleagues at work, which would be crazy, if he pardoned Mumia, that'd be crazy right there, but everybody would love that.
I'm with that, too.
Okay. Pardon who? Mumia.
Abu Jamal.
Oh, I got you.
All right, so let's pull a caller in real quick before we move into the last bit we're gonna talk about, because we gotta talk about Kaepernick kneeling and everything that's going on with all these black men being gunned down. So before we get into that, we have another caller we want to pull in real quick. Last four digits of your phone number is 118. Listen and tell us that if you want to say something. Where you're calling from, and let us know what's on your mind.
Hello?
You're on the clock.
Yep.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello. How are you?
Okay, you can hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, baby.
We can hear you.
Okay, it's Yenny. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
What up, Yenny? What's up?
Yeah, wow.
Okay,
wow.
I can't get on the chat because I'm on my tablet and it's not allowing me, but I think it was Rasheem that said, you have a black man, you have a president. You have all these factors that make President Barack Obama. But it's no different, if you really think about it, about how we are at work. I work within a Fortune 500 bank. Actually, the bank is in the news now for the BS that happened last week. But
Wells Fargo? I'm
glad I ain't saying nothing. But anyway, like I said.
No name.
Okay. So let's keep it funky. When I dress up and go into my job, okay? I already know I'm like three out of the five black people who occupy, 5 floors of this company, okay? I can't really talk about what I really want to talk about or say or act the way I really want to talk about. And you can see that when you look at when President Barack Obama speaks. Like, seriously, you know that he wants to say more?
Oh, hold up. So you mean to tell me, When you're at work, and a controversial topic comes up, I understand you have to taper what you say, but you go the complete opposite of how you feel, or do you clean it up?
No, I don't go complete opposite. No. I don't go complete opposite. I state my point, but
she can't go.
I have to limit my emotion. No. I'm going to limit my emotion because let's talk about it. I'm black. I'm a woman.
Word.
Okay, that's two strikes against me in corporate America that's dominated by white males. Okay, so I have to be tape of what I have to say in or my emotion behind it, because one, they'll either consider it aggressive,
mm-hmm.
or I'm about to attack somebody, and I've already been approached that on that merit because I stand firm on what I do. But at
huh? I'm saying they would label you the angry black woman or something like that.
They already labeled me the angry black woman, okay? It's already been established. Mm. When Barack came into the – when he was doing the presidential 8 years ago, I went hard, stayed in my peace, everything about what I needed to, but, of course, I ended up being the angry black woman. Okay, I go hard for something, I'm aggressive. In a negative way. It's not a positive way. And the thing about it is that when you look at President Barack Obama, he wants to say more. You could tell he wants to say more. But it was said he's a president. We have to look at the fact that he's black and put it on the side, which is very unfortunate for us as black people because we want him to say how we feel. He has the platform. We know he does. I also feel there's certain times that he should. Yes.
People's civil rights are being violated. You know, at the end of the day, when LGBT, I believe, got the ability to wed, the Supreme Court kind of had their ruling. The White House did rainbow colors. Like, that's a very powerful visual statement, right? So that's a segment of people who have been downtrodden, chastised for, you know, the whole entirety of America for their lifestyle. How they feel, how they want to, you know, display themselves, whatever you want to categorize it. But that he aligned himself and said he changed his position, that I didn't think they should have gotten married, but now I do, and then made the decision because he had to sign off on turning the colors rainbow. Minorities are a segment of people who have been, the civil rights have been violated continuously, and he hasn't done anything or said anything with any umph to support or make a difference in that arena.
Y'all listen to this. Thank you, Yenny, for your call. We really appreciate that. But y'all listen to this. So what I'm hearing is y'all want Obama to go this hard. Hold on a quick second.
Cops have to be trained differently. If this had been, you don't have to train the police not to shoot white people. Why you got to train them not to shoot us?
But
chase recently in L.A. with a Caucasian woman. She went through several counties. She ran into cars. She ran up on the road. When they took her out of the car, they gently removed what looked like a cell phone and gently handcuffed her. If that had been a black man, he would have been face down on the pavement without one second of conversation. We have to change how we see each other. And we cannot do that in two-way communication. We say what it is, which is that racism and fear of black men specifically drives these shootings. We have to change as a nation.
Look, fundamentally. But I know we got to go to break. The first thing you got to do, you got to make it a hate crime. You got to make it. You got to put people in jail. When you shoot somebody under the color of authority, you need to lose your job, and you need to lose your livelihood, and you need to lose your freedom, like every other American loses their freedom. That's right.
You need to be conscious, but remember, there are good police officers out there.
And the ones that are not, they need to go to jail. They need to go to jail. And don't tell me this. We got to train. Y'all white. Y'all drive all the time and don't nothing happen to y'all. And we black. And I'm afraid to drive my damn car because if they don't know who I am, I could be shot. Until y'all feel that.
Obama needs to go as hard as Michelle Underwood when dealing with these things that have taken place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Charlotte, huh?
Nobody's saying that, man.
Well, I'm asking, after his presidency, can he go that hard? Because now we got a gentleman who, from what I understand, they're trying to say he was reaching in his car. And they saying allegedly the car windows was rolled up. How could he be reaching in the window? You know, a woman, you know, the white officer is saying that she felt threatened and he wasn't complying. You know, the thing that burns me up is if I'm not complying, why does that mean you get to shoot me?
Right, exactly.
Onion on this and start to make these statements once he gets out of office? Or should he be doing it right now?
He should be doing it right now. He should have been doing it in 2008. And so if he starts talking like that after he gets out of office, that would make me almost more mad. Because why would you suddenly now I'm free, now I can say what I want to say? You are a pointless-ass person now, just like me. You should have been talking that when you was in office. I understand that he cannot pass any laws. I understand that he has to work within the framework and legislative and, you know, whatever. The point of the matter is that had he been more strident in using his bully pulpit, then we would not be having these same type of issues. What people don't want to hear is that they always be like, well, you know, he can't do this and he can't do that. He is about the weakest damn president in a long-ass time. Bush said, I'm going to Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11. And we knew it had nothing to do with 9/11. From the gate, we knew that there wasn't no weapons of mass destruction there. But he said, I'm going anyway, because damn it, I'm the president, and Saddam attacked my dad, and I'm going to take his ass out. And that's exactly what he did. Why? Because he's the president, and he can do that. He figured out a way to do it. Barack got in, and he was like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't even say I'm black, but I can do anything on earth. I can paint the White House rainbow colors. I can pass any law when it comes for women. I can do all this other madness, but he can't do anything for black people because, God forbid, it pisses off the people in West Virginia. And then if he gets out of office and starts talking about it, man, miss me with that.
Let me go to a caller. Let me go to a caller. Let me work my way to a caller. Caller, you've been sitting on for a while, and you've spoken before. I think I want to hear you again on this. 4727. Nas, what you got to say, bro?
Well, I mean, the brother before me, I mean, he laid it out perfectly. We got to be careful when we start giving people dodges that they didn't even ask for, when we start making excuses for people. In a sense, you go back to 2008 when his group was given that advertising award for coming up with Hope and Change. Why? Because you could add to it anything you wanted to. So Hope and Change is open-ended, and people basically put on to him what they desired him to be. So this idea of a radical Obama or a more progressive or leftist Obama doesn't actually exist. He's a centrist, always been a centrist. When he gets out, he'll make $200,000 a speech at corporate events, and he'll be brought in as the Negro whisperer to calm us down during situations that they feel he's needed. Anybody who gets 95% of a group's demographic vote, that group has some say in how that person should do his business. So if AIPAC voted at 95% clip for any of these presidents, they would have legislation, and they damn sure would have, as my man just said, them on the bully pulpit speaking to their issues. He chose neither. He decided to treat the situation as, I'm not the president of black America, I'm the president of America. Well, without our vote, you aren't actually there. So to ignore our concerns for all of this time and for people to still be hoping that this dude turns it around, no, that's not who he is, and we got to learn to accept that. And when you see him in front of black crowds, the NAACP, or just that event you just played, listen to the tone and also understand who he's talking to. He's not talking to the black people in front of him. He's talking to white America for the most part. You see what I told them? You see how I made them take accountability and responsibility? And when he goes to so-called leftist spaces that are white, the tone is different. The reality is different that he lays out. You've been aggrieved by some corporation. You've been aggrieved by your government. There's somebody else always at fault. But when he talks to us, it's all about what we are not doing right. So this goes back to Malcolm, Ballad of the Bullet speech. Right now, as a collective, we are politically chumps. We play the game the wrong way. We don't lay anything out before we get before we give our vote up. And we essentially, we're being emotionally driven by two parties who could care less about us but really do need us and use us at election time. And we really need to get it together as far as organizing.
And
thank you very much,
here,
brother.
Is a genius.
Yeah, he laid that
now,
out.
Listen,
he laid that out.
Diddy said the same thing. He said Obama was nothing to black people. Now, listen, I'm not a Diddy fan at all. But, by God, when he said that, I'm like, I agree with this guy.
Hey, we got time for one more caller, man. I'm sure he wants to say something, man.
I'm picking up one more because we only got about 4 minutes left on this.
Put your panties up, Neil.
Hold
what
on
you say,
a
man?
Second.
Yeah, put your panties up, Neil.
Hey, man, we for the people, man. I'm sure they want to say something, man, for real.
For the people.
Wait, you need to tell me which shorty, because all I see is phone numbers. Is it someone who was already spoken for? Never mind, I'm just going. How about this? 30, 68,
well,
you got 30 seconds.
Yes, sir.
30, 68,
okay.
You got 30 seconds. And then I'm going to hit up
one more
line up here.
Okay. It's Chase again. What Nas just said is absolutely on point. I agree with almost everything he said in terms of our mobility and the fact that you have to know the game that you're playing. And for various reasons that like it would take too long to cover, we've never really learned how to play the game. We go by things based upon emotion, and that's not how you play basketball. That's not how you play football. You have to know the rules at the game in which you're playing. We have to learn that first and foremost. In terms of categorizing Barack Obama in terms of his ability or inabilities in terms of doing for us, quickly speaking, I never thought that Obama personally was ever really going to do anything for the black community because, again, I may err on the side of being a conspiracy theorist, but I never feel as though anybody, even the President of the United States, has as much power as people want to give. You know, when Kennedy thought that he was above, you know, the law, like per se, who knows whether it be the mob or the government themselves that took him out, because again, no one man is large enough to do what you think he may want to do.
Right.
That being said, I think he is an extremely charismatic gentleman. I think that the agenda that he was able to pass were beneficial for small groups to gain some type of leeway. But you also have to remember something.
We gotta wrap this up, Chase.
We're still public enemy number one in this country, and never forget that.
I appreciate you, fam. Right, appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Now here's the deal. We only got about 1 minute left. So you just got a couple seconds. 7691. 7691, do you have anything to share with us? Absolutely not.
Listening.
Okay.
All right.
So we got our calls in, Neil. So I hope we got everybody you was talking about. Here it is, family. We only got about a minute left. Is there anything you want to say or you want to wrap it up and try to hold it over the next week? Because we still
let me just say this.
Colin Kaepernick, we still got to unpack Black Lives Matter, but we only got a minute left.
Let me just say this real quick, man. To all my brothers out there that's listening, man, I love y'all. Be safe out here. America is at a crazy point right now. And I don't want to ever wake up early morning and hear I lost another brother because of some bullshit. So just be careful out here. Don't drink and drive. Don't do that craziness. I know it seems like, oh, my God, I got to be extra careful right now in life. Right now, this particular time, we do. So just please, just listen to the laws of the land and be careful.
You know what, brother? That is the best way. I think we can wrap this up right now. Listen, y'all, we do this every Wednesday, 8 p.m. You can call in at 646-668-2132, or you can hit us up at blogtalkradio.com/abrotherspov. Thank y'all for listening, and family, we out.
I'm focused, man. Don't stop to holler at me, man.